Do you sometimes have trouble doing God's will? Well, you definitely want to listen to this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the program. Come on in and make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 30 minutes as we enter into day 11 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Over the past couple of days, we've talked about the teaching of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and specifically this idea of Mary as the created Immaculate Conception and the Holy Spirit as the uncreated Immaculate Conception. It gets a little complicated, and yesterday in the material, Father Gately said, if you get one thing out of it, let it be this: Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And I think for most of us, that's enough to really grasp that concept. It's incredibly important because we realize that if Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, she can help us to get in touch with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of us have trouble getting in touch with the Holy Spirit because we're not accustomed to listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and to following those promptings in our lives. If we do, of course, what would we do? We'd be doing God's will all the time, and that's a good thing. So where we're headed with this total consecration is for a closer union with the Holy Spirit, and of course Mary will bring that about. Today we'll talk about the Immaculata always does God's will perfectly, and that's something you and I want to do. That's the secret to holiness. It's doing God's will at every moment of the day. We know we're human. We fail a lot of times. Today's a special day. It's the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. We remember the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and that's how our redemption came about. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. And what would look to be a very horrible incident turned out to be something very beautiful. And that, you know, in the same way, if we look at our lives, so many times things that happen to us seem hopeless, unpleasant, almost disastrous. But yet, in reality, God's letting those things happen. So His will is playing out, even though we might look at it and say, this is horrible. It's just a reminder for us that we don't always see the big picture because we're not God. And, you know, that sounds silly, but it's a big problem that a lot of us have. We think we know better than God. We get frustrated when things don't go our way. One of the benefits of total consecration is that by doing it, you're going to be able to better understand God's working in your life and be more accepting of the things that He does. Let's see, any points I want to make. I did get one email that I thought it was a good one. Somebody wrote and said, my prayer life isn't good enough. What can I do? And I think this is something that we all need to address. All of our prayer lives can get better. And if you think it's good enough, then you're wrong. I mean, you know, we want to constantly, and I'm not meaning to make you feel inferior or make you feel uneasy, but in essence, really, throughout our lives, as we go through our earthly life, every day we want to get closer to Christ. We want to do something to get a little bit closer to Him. We're never going to get as close to Him as we possibly can. You know, there's always going to be some gap there. So we want to work as hard as we can to get close to Christ each day. No matter where you are on the spiritual spectrum, we want to work to get closer to Him, to grow closer to Him. So my suggestion is, if you may be having the same problem, if you're wondering, is my prayer life good enough? The first thing I would ask you is, are you talking to Jesus every day? You have to be. You absolutely have to be. It can be for 5 minutes each day, but you need to be conversing with Him. Now, the other thing is, you need to not only be asking for things, you need to be asking Him what you can do for Him. You need to be thanking Him. You need to be praising Him. You know, this is a relationship. The relationship between you and Jesus is more than just you asking for what you need. That would be a really one-sided relationship. So you have to speak to Him. You have to let Him speak to you. And this takes time. This might be something that it's going to take you a little while. It might take you several years to really work out and feel comfortable with. There are several, I'm not going to go into it all now, but there are several different ways that the Lord can speak to us. One of the best ways is through sacred scripture. So what I would say is this: if you're concerned about your prayer life, make sure you speak to him. I would say when you wake up in the morning, say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day. Please grant me the grace that I need to make it through the day and to do your will." If you have a morning offering, you can read your morning offering at that time. And then throughout the day, just try to remember to talk to the Lord briefly as things occur. And at the end of the day, as you're lying in bed, do your examination of conscience, even if it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes or so. And that's when you briefly go over the day, you look at what you did, and you assess, did I do the right thing, did I do the wrong thing? And you ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you messed up, you say, "Lord, I'm sorry." Ask for the grace to do better the next day, and you move on. If necessary, you go to confession, too, as soon as you can. In addition, you want to make sure you read your Bible every day, because that's the easiest, best way, the surest way to make sure that God is speaking to you, that the Lord is speaking to you. So you read your Bible 5-10 minutes a day. You can read the daily Mass readings. That's why we do it on the program. And if you do that, you're on your way to a good relationship with Jesus. That's going to grow with time. What else can you do? You could frequent the sacraments as often as possible. You can spend time in Eucharistic adoration. You can spend time in silent prayer with him. And these are things you could do to work on the relationship. But don't stress out about it. Mary's going to help you once you make your total consecration. And that's one of the things you'll find if you find it difficult to pray. If you find that you don't have the motivation to go to daily Mass, the motivation to read your Bible, Mary's going to help you with that. And remember, you haven't made your total consecration yet. So really, nothing has changed in your life. So if you're going through this saying, "Look, I'm a third of the way into this, and I'm not feeling anything, what's wrong with me?" Well, nothing's wrong with you. All we're doing is making the preparation for total consecration. Total consecration happens on October the 7th. But thank you for the questions. I have a really good feeling about the group this time. And let me know if there's anything else I can do for you. Just shoot the emails my way. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And remember, I want to come out to speak to your parish, too. So if you want to have me speak, visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and let me know what I can, you know, when we'll work out the arrangements, and I'll come out and speak. And I'll either talk about total consecration or any number of other topics. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go for more information. I need to take a sip of my beverage du jour. You know what it is? Let's even guess. Well, that was, I don't know if you could tell by that. It's a can of Coca-Cola. That's my beverage today. I hope you're comfortable. I hope you have your snack. I hope you have your beverage. I hope you have your feet up and you're going to sit back and talk and listen to some good talk about our Lord and our Lady. That's what this show is all about. We're now in our fifth year on Blog Talk Radio. Praise the Lord for that. This is the fifth consecutive year that I've done total consecration on this program, too. So I'm thrilled that you're a part of it. Let's pray, and then we'll take a look at the material for today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. Please help us to keep focused on this journey toward total consecration. Please keep us motivated, keep us hungry to learn more about our Blessed Mother and about your Son Jesus and about the Holy Spirit and about you, Father in heaven. Help us to boldly proclaim our faith, even when it might be difficult. Help us always to desire to do your will. We ask you to bless us and our family members, all of those people we encounter each day. And Father, I ask you to take over this show from me. Let this show be your opportunity to speak. Please speak through me and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We turn to our Blessed Mother Mary now, and we ask for her help. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. And Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Again, I'd like to thank you for tuning into the program. And by the way, in case you're wondering, I have not sent out any emails yet. I don't feel the need to do it just yet. If I do, I'll let you know. So don't panic thinking you're not getting the emails. Sometimes it's difficult for me to get the emails together and to send it out. So unless I have something really important, I promised I wouldn't inundate you with emails. Now you see, I'm not kidding. If I need to send one out, I'll let you know so that you can look for it. In the meantime, we're continuing on day 11 of our 33-day preparation. Today, the Immaculata always does God's will perfectly. I've told you this before. I'm going to say it again. I just want you to relax. This material from St. Maximilian Kolbe is pretty deep. If you don't feel you're getting it, don't panic. Let the Holy Spirit bring you along at the pace He wants you to be brought along at. I think too many times we're hard on ourselves, and we expect to be making more spiritual progress than the Holy Spirit wants us to. You know, we're all different. We're all going to progress on our spiritual journey at a different pace. Relax. As long as you're putting in your 30 minutes each night, you're giving it your best shot, you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Okay. The Immaculata always does God's will perfectly. Father Gately's words. Yesterday, we learned about the intimate union between the Holy Spirit and Mary, the uncreated and created Immaculate Conceptions. Remember, that union is a marital union. Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Father Gately says, now we may be thinking, well, that's nice, but what follows from it? Here's what follows. Mary does the will of God perfectly. And this is a big deal. Let's take a step back and put this into context by looking at the big picture of reality. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, all of creation makes one big circular movement from God and back to God, referred by theologians as the great circle of being. Aquinas writes, issuing from the primary principle, creatures accomplish a sort of circuit, a gyratory movement, such that all things, when they tend to their proper end, are returning to the principle whence they came forth. We were created by the Son and by the Holy Spirit, and hence it is by them that we are brought back to our end. Now, St. Maximilian Kolbe, being the good theologian that he was, describes this big picture structure of reality in a similar way. He begins by pointing to our own experience of the world. Everywhere in this world, we notice action, departure and return, going away and coming back, separation and reunion. The separation always looks forward to union, which is creative. All this is simply an image of the Blessed Trinity in the activity of creatures. What Kolbe describes here really is true. It's the structure of the cosmos. Everything has come forth from God and is going back to God, more or less perfectly. This movement is sometimes called the great exit and return. Although Kolbe uses the term separation instead of exit, he's got the same idea. First, God creates the universe. That is something like a separation. Creatures, by following the natural law implanted in them by God, reach their perfection, become like Him, and go back to Him. Intelligent creatures, human beings, love Him in a conscious manner. Through this love, they unite themselves more and more closely with Him, and so find their way back to Him. Among all the creatures in the universe, Kolbe believes that the Immaculata deserves special mention. The creature most completely filled with this love, filled with God Himself, was the Immaculata, who never contracted the slightest stain of sin, who never departed in the least from God's will. United to the Holy Spirit as His spouse, she is one with God in an incomparably more perfect way than can be predicated of any other creature. And this is big, but I'm going to let Father Gately talk about this, and then I'll summarize a little bit. He says, let's reflect for a moment on this vision of reality. First, everything going forth from God. Think of all creation. God speaks, and it goes forth from him. Then plants and animals return to God by fulfilling their natures, by being what they were created to be. They do this without thinking or deliberating and with a sort of ease. It happens by a kind of instinctual autopilot. Human beings, on the other hand, are different. While there are times when we act by instinct, we also act in a way different from the animals. We act by reason and will. And we're conscious as we do so, present to ourselves as we act. This is what it means to be made in the image of God. We can know God and love him. And whereas the animals do God's will by instinct, we can do his will freely and consciously. So in other words, we can choose to follow God's will, or we can choose to not follow God's will. And when we sin, we are not following God's will. Okay, Father says, the problem is we abuse the freedom God gave us. We don't always choose his will, and so we don't return to him as we should. We sin. And if we sin so gravely and don't fully repent, then we don't make it back to God. This is a great tragedy of human life. But thanks be to God, for he sent his only Son and the power of his Spirit to save us, to bring us back home to our Father in heaven. And thank God that after the fall of the human race, he made a creature who was conceived without sin, and who is freely and perfectly conformed to his will, for she is perfectly united with the Holy Spirit. She helps us poor sinners along the way. She helps us to overcome the tragedy of sin. She leads us to do God's will, return to God, and become saints. We'll hear more about this tomorrow. Now, that's the material for today, and just to summarize it, there's a very simple takeaway from what we just read, and that's that Mary does the will of God perfectly. Mary knows God's will, and she always does God's will perfectly. Sometimes we know God's will for our lives, but we don't follow that will, and that's what happens when we sin. So we have someone here who can help us to better follow God's will in our lives. And really, that's how we become holy. That's how we become heaven. That's how we get to heaven, by following God's will. So it really is a big deal if we don't follow God's will. It's a very big deal. Because ultimately what can happen is we can lose our salvation. We cannot make it to heaven, depending on if we die in the state of mortal sin. I mean, and that's a horrible, horrible tragedy. So we want to make sure that we do whatever we can to follow God's will. And we talked on the show yesterday about the fact that this is an easy, fast, easy, and secure way, the safe way to follow God's will, to become a saint, to get to heaven. In the case of something like following God's will, whatever we can do to help ourselves, it makes sense that we'll do it. And that's what we're doing with total consecration. So Mary, being the spouse of the Holy Spirit, she understands God's will, and she'll help us to perfectly follow God's will. So that's really all the material for today. And you just start to feel good about that, especially if you're someone like me who tends to be a weak person. And you think, you know what, I just can't do this. I'm not good enough to follow God's will. I'm not good enough to be holy. I am not saint material. Well, you're wrong, because you are saint material. Every one of us was created to be a great saint. And all that means is not that we'll necessarily be canonized, although that would be really cool, wouldn't it? But it's not going to happen for most of us. It doesn't mean we won't live in heaven forever. Not every saint is canonized. Our goal should be to get to heaven. That's what we want. No matter what we have to do, no matter what kind of help we need, that should be our goal. That's the reason why we are on this earth. We're on this earth so that we can live forever with the Lord in heaven. This is temporary. We're just on a journey. We're stopping off at a hotel, right? You know how you take a long trip and you stop off at a hotel midway? Well, that's what we are doing right now. We're stopping off at a hotel, and ultimately our destination, our final destination, is heaven. Today's prayer: Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, renew the face of the earth so that all creation may return to God. Amen. Amen. Now, if you have questions, you know where to find me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Tomorrow, let's see, tomorrow is day 12. Where or who are you, O holy saints of God? That's the material. Some more of Maximilian Kolbe's teaching. And then beginning on Friday of this week, now I know it's only Monday, but beginning on Friday of this week, we launch into week 3 of Total Consecration, the teaching of Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I know you're going to enjoy that. So I hope you continue to hang in there. This is a great privilege to be able to share this 33-day Total Consecration retreat with you. And I'm so glad that you're a part of it. Thank you very much for your support, your financial contributions, your letters, your emails, just your prayers. It's very important. Let's continue to pray for one another as we go through this. Now, I mentioned at the start of the show, today is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. So let's let the Lord speak to us now through these readings. We have an extra reading. We have a second reading today because it's a feast, and the church decided that we should have a second reading for today. Let's go through these, and we'll summarize them, but I really want you to hear God's word to you today. First reading is a reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert, where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food. In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole. And if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole, and whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, what we have here is a foreshadowing of Christ mounting the wood of the cross and redeeming us. That's what we have here. The people rebelled. They were fed up with the food. Isn't that funny? Boy, human nature being what it is, it doesn't change much. I can see myself being fed up with the food and giving Moses a hard time, complaining, "Why'd you bring us out to die in the desert? We were better off being slaves." You know, they don't get it, nor do we get it sometimes, because sin looks really good to us, doesn't it? And that's why we make that mistake and we sin. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. Nobody's going to do anything they don't want to do. So sin looks attractive to us. That's because the devil's very sneaky. He's a liar, and he wants to fool us. So sin looks good. We sin, and what happens? We end up being separated from the Lord. That's where Jesus went to work, and he would redeem us. So this first reading kind of sets up the sacrifice on Calvary. Psalm 78 is the responsorial psalm. "Do not forget the works of the Lord. Hearken, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter mysteries from of old. While he slew them, they sought him and inquired after God again, remembering that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues. Though their hearts were not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. But he, being merciful, forgave their sin, and he destroyed them not. Often he turned back his anger and let none of his wrath be roused." I don't care what kind of a day you're having today. And a lot of us have big-time problems. I don't care what kind of a day you're having. You have something to be thankful for. And that's that Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, redeemed you. And he did it at the cost of his own life. You're going to find very few people who care that much about you that they would give up their life for you. Make sure you thank him for that. And it's so easy to forget this, but we need to become aware of what our Lord did for us and what he continues to do for us. The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, one of my favorite Bible passages. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, sometimes we have an attitude and we think, well, I'm not going to do that job because that's beneath me. Isn't it a good thing Jesus didn't think that way? He's God. But yet, he became man. He lowered himself so that he could become man and suffer the various indignities that go along with becoming man. He suffered tremendous persecution and abuse, and ultimately, he was hung on a cross to suffer and die. Why did he do it? He did it because he loves you. That's incredible. And yet we have issues doing things that we don't want to do. No, I don't really want to talk to that guy. I'm not going to talk to him. I don't feel like doing that. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible every day. I'm a busy person. This is why every day we need to think about what Christ did for us, because otherwise we're going to forget it and we will become, we'll start to take our Lord for granted. That's what I'm looking for. We'll start to take him for granted and not appreciate just how much he loves us and what he's willing to do for us. Let's look at the gospel now. John chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." You and I have the opportunity to be saved, to live with the Lord forever in heaven. Not because of anything we did or anything we will ever do, but because of what Jesus did, because of his love. When we mess up, we're rejecting the grace that he's giving us to get to heaven. And when we mess up and we sin, I should say, we're rejecting the grace that he gives us. He's giving us the grace that we need to avoid sin. We get it. We get that grace. We get it through the sacraments. We get it through prayer. When we sin, we are rejecting that grace. Whether we do it intentionally or subconsciously. Right? And that's what happens. The reason we are making this total consecration is because we acknowledge that. We acknowledge that we need help because of the fact that we sin so much, because of the fact that we're lukewarm, because of the fact that we don't feel like being uncomfortable. The fact that we acknowledge it is the first step to getting better. And because the Lord loves us so much, he gave us this great gift of the Blessed Mother to help us. He doesn't even want us to try to muscle through this on our own. Sure, we have to do what we can, but we know how successful we've been with that, right? We've failed numerous times. So we're taking advantage of this great gift that the Lord gives us, the gift of the Blessed Mother, who will help us to become better. So as we go through this 33-day preparation period, let's appreciate the gift. And we'll learn more about our Blessed Mother. Today we talked about the fact that she always did God's will. That's the kind of person I want to help me. Somebody that always does God's will. Amen. All right, thanks for tuning in. God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow night. I hope you can join me if you have any questions. My email is gary@followingthetruth.com. Have yourself a wonderful night. God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Take care.